Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello there, it's time for the final episode of this series of Friends with Friends. Dave has been quite emotional. He has been quite teary, but I think he's just about composed himself.
Yeah, I'm fine. Ahoy, hoy. I was going to try and sort of talk as I played, but then the microphone's behind. It's very confusing. You don't need to know the logistics.
That was a nice musical addition. I liked it.
Thank you. Don't get used to it. It won't be happening again.
No.
For the aforementioned logistical reasons. How are you, apart from fraught with emotion at the end of season 6 of FWF?
I'm all right, thanks. Yeah.
Had a nice weekend.
Yes. I got quite drunk. I watched a football, Leeds won, which was nice. Doesn't happen very often these days. Yeah, everything's fine. How about you?
The only life admin update I'll give you, but I've got a new Dutch oven this weekend.
Isn't that a...
You're thinking of the slang version of
the thing you do under the duvet.
No, that's the slang version. The Dutch oven is like a big pot.
Is it? Is that where that comes from?
Yeah.
I thought it was just a great name that someone invented.
No. It's like a big one pot thing with a lid and all of that. Yeah, you pop it in. It's good.
Right. What did you use it for?
I made a jambalaya, Pete.
Did you?
I did.
Don't they take fucking ages?
Not too long, actually. No, you can do it.
Oh, I made one once and it took ages, but that's probably more of a reflection on my cooking.
The lads round, we watched Leeds play with a jambalaya. It was
jambalaya
lovely.
With the boys.
As I was saying it, I thought, I don't want to sound too laddie by like saying I had the lads around for the football. Then I realised as soon as I was like, I had the lads around to road test the new Dutch oven with a jambalaya homemade recipe. Then
great.
I realised actually the football, I need the football to pull me back the other way, you know?
Yeah.
So there you go. So yeah, that was my Sunday afternoon. Actually, do you know what I did more Friends related this weekend? And this is actually probably worth us saying this because we don't have another podcast nearer the time.
Did you watch Friends?
I did watch Friends for this podcast, but I actually wrote a round of the quiz that isn't happening until November the 17th.
That's very organised.
I know, isn't it? I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's a round only has... All right. But there you go. So there you go. November the 17th. That's a roundabout way of us plugging the quiz. The Old Queen's Head in London. Actually, what we should do before the year is out, Pete, is maybe just try a little one up north, is it?
A pub quiz?
Yeah, I'll nip up for Christmas. A friend's Christmas pub quiz?
Oh, yeah. That'd
be nice, wouldn't it? But yeah, November the 17th is the London one, the next one, probably the last one before Christmas. All the deets are somewhere on the internet, I think. So
great.
Good luck with that.
Incredibly vague.
I can't promise at the moment we're going to not neglect you if you're outside of England, Great Britain, Ireland. You know, like, it's going to be a more of a commitment to sort of say, we'll come and give you a pub quiz, because we do have, you know, as previously mentioned, people much further afield than that these days, don't we? Maybe that's what we should do one day. A pub quiz tour. Do people do that? Like a band touring, but it's just a pub quiz. Do you know what? let's look into that. I'd quite enjoy that. That'd be quite a good
quiz.
Wouldn't that just be a good way to spend a year? I reckon America.
A year?
Yeah. Just take a year off.
Fucking hell.
Just take a year off. Tour America or something, you know? Just do all the little towns in America. You get 100 people to do a trivia night, as they call them there.
Well, you book that.
Okay, fine, deal. I'll sort that and then meet you in New York and we'll just work our way east to west.
Yeah, fine.
Cool, I'll let you know what date to meet in New York. Cool, in other news, should we talk about friends finally?
Yeah.
A message from Stephen. Stephen. Ahoy hoy, I'd like to thank you for your excellent podcast, both keeping me company on my lunchtime walks and making me overanalyze friends, even when it pops up in polite conversation with non-fwoofers. I'm not sure there are any non-fwoofers. I believe everybody...
I don't think you should be talking to them.
No, absolutely not. I'd love to request the one where Joey dates Rachel, specifically for the Ms. Blackman plot. I'm a huge Phoebe fan and feel her best episodes are all yet to be selected. And this is perhaps her very best. A great physical performance by Lisa Kudrow to rival Schwimmer. I also feel season 8 gets an unjustified bad rep too. Cheers and a bye-bye. Is that the opposite of a hoy-hoy? Stephen, do you know what? Maybe it is.
Interesting that Stephen said this is one of Phoebe's best episodes because I feel like she's barely in it.
Yes, it's she doesn't have much to do, does she? She's only in it two or three scenes, but those two or three scenes are very focus-pulling, aren't they?
Yeah.
Would you like a synopsis?
Yeah, okay.
Directed, Peter, by...
David Schwimmer.
David Schwimmer.
Yeah.
Rachel is sad. She can no longer date due to her pregnancy, so Joey takes her out to cheer her up, but develops a crush on her, something that scares him. Monica and Chandler, meanwhile, get a Ms. Pac-Man arcade game from Phoebe as a late wedding present. After Phoebe hogs the game, Chandler becomes a pro by repeatedly playing and putting swear words as his initials. And Monica wants them removed as Ben will be coming over to play on it. And Ross gets to teach an advanced class but struggles to get there on time. feels like a weak third plot when written down like that.
Very, very tiny part of the episode is Ross.
Yes, it really is. It's very heavily Joey, Rachel, and a bit of Chandler Monica, isn't it?
Yeah.
227412.
Yeah.
Not your favourite?
It's fine.
Where would you like to start then?
Should we do the Ross bit?
Yeah, let's do the Ross bit, shall we?
Right, should we do the Pac-Man bit?
We could have edited that out, but I like that you left it in. I was just getting my notes, the Ross notes up, and you just lost patience with me.
I used to have to walk down the road for some lessons in sick form.
What, to a different school?
Yeah.
Why?
So my sick form was joint with another school that was down the road.
Or boys' school or girls' school type thing? Or
no, so I went, one was a Protestant school.
Uh-huh.
And then one was Catholic.
Oh, okay.
And then to spice it up in sick form, they combined the Protestants and the Catholics.
What?
And you'd have some lessons at one school and some at the other. Oh. So I do have sympathy with Ross having to rush because sometimes, like, a lesson would finish at, I don't know, 2:30, and then your next lesson would start at 2:30, but be down the road.
Yeah, my first thought was, why would they ever schedule this nonsense thing? But this happens all the time, doesn't it? I remember that sort of school in uni, just going, nobody has even bothered to look at the geography of the scheduling.
Yeah.
And they do just schedule absolute mad stuff. But there are geographical problems with this Ross storyline, aren't there? So my first one is that the time he gets there first, he runs and gets there 50 minutes late, right? The second time he arrives on time, it's the time that he sort of passes out from exhaustion. But I don't understand how he's sped up and saved 50 minutes from running the first time to really running quite fast the second time.
Yeah, it must have been a very light jog the first time around.
But even so, 50 minutes, Pete. That's that's
great personal best.
Yeah, it's a real good PB. He says, I found a shorter route. But that must have been a much, much shorter route, mustn't it?
Yeah.
And then the main thing with this is, so it's too far to run. That's what he decides. The traffic's too bad to get in a car. He eventually uses roller skates, which is the sort of comedic punchline. Like, New York's got bikes, hasn't it? It's just one of those storylines where I went, this isn't a thing because there's such a normalised, obvious solution, you know?
Yeah, of all the cities to try and get around.
Yeah.
that's probably a fairly straightforward one. It's very well connected.
If you can if you can just get there on time, absolutely pelting it running, you could breeze there on a bike, couldn't you?
Yeah. Maybe he just really wanted to learn how to rollerblade.
Yeah, well, I
roller
mean,
skate?
He did roller. It's probably blades, was it? Yeah, I didn't actually look at the feet. In my head, they were blades. That scene at the end is really stunning, actually. Like, it's really short, and it's just him roller skating around, but it's really funny and, like, perfectly timed, and all the little, you know, slapping the board with the stick. You know, like, the physical acting of it is so good.
Directed himself for it.
Well, yes, exactly. There you go. How to get the best out of David Schwimmer. Let David Schwimmer do it. Other questions. Do bells ring at university? Did your university have a school bell? It felt very schooly the way
it
was set
up. No, that's a good point, actually. No.
I do really enjoy the line, I can't be afraid to get a little hit by cars.
Yes.
And then the other main thing, only real other thing from this is right at the start, he comes in, doesn't he? And he says, guess what?
I really like that bit with Joey acting like Ross is really boring.
Yes. Yes. Oh, they want to leave.
Do you think he saw us? Yeah.
Good dinosaur joke. But then Ross says, because Rachel goes, they made you the head of the department. And Ross goes, why didn't I get the head of the department?
Yeah.
Probably because you dated a student repeatedly against the faculty's will and orders, eh?
Yeah, that's true, actually.
It's lucky you still bloody work there in the first place, mate. And also, probably because your organisational skills extend to not even bothering to look up where the second building is before 10 minutes before you have to get there, and just asking a student on the off chance where it is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, just look it up, mate. And I didn't have City Mapper back in the day, but just have a go. Just think maybe more than 10 minutes ahead. Anyway, God, I got a bit ranty about Ross there, didn't I?
Leave him alone.
Leave Ross alone. But yeah, very short storyline that really, wasn't it? So should we move on to Phoebe, Monica and Chandler and Ms. Pac-Man?
Completely impractical present from Phoebe.
I want to know how she got it up there. The whole point is it's completely unmovable. Immovable? Immovable.
Immovable, yeah.
Non-movables. Let's assume that some delivery people brought it, right? And she sort of says, I didn't know where to put it. So why did you choose the least practical place in the whole apartment? Just the middle of the bit where you walk in, where nobody ever hangs out. Like, at least if you just put it against a wall for the time being, that would have been fine. But she really didn't think that. Also, in that apartment, there's only one room it's going in, right?
Well, I just think that the whole Pac-Man thing, or Ms. Pac-Man.
Yes.
It's just a very odd plot, isn't it?
It's really strange, isn't it? I don't know quite where it's come from or why it's there. Because we've never really heard anything about them loving arcade games before, have we?
Oh, and all of a sudden they're absolutely beside themselves. And also, Monica's got such a specific idea about how she wants her apartment to be.
Yeah.
I feel like she wouldn't be okay with being given a massive, massive piece of equipment.
Yeah, I think this is so out of character for Monica, this whole episode. The idea that she'd be obsessed with this thing and be happy to have it in the middle of her living room. Even I was just like, oh, good, look at the cable trailing from behind. It's really messy. It's horrible.
The only thing that might make this make sense of Monica is her competitive nature.
Right. And she's certainly
therefore wanting to be a high score.
Right. And she turns out to be the worst of the three. But see, the competitive thing doesn't really come out. She gets annoyed at Phoebe for sort of hogging it, doesn't she? But her competitive nature doesn't come out in the same
way.
That's
true, actually. Yeah, her motivation is to avoid rude words being on the screen.
Yeah, so she's sort of happy that Chandler's much better and Phoebe's much better at her. She doesn't seem to engage in that sort of table tennis with Mike way, does she?
What do you think Chandler's rude words are? Because he's put ass, right?
Yeah, so we've got ass.
And then there are other three-letter words.
Oh, yeah. They only give you three letters, so you have to be creative. I imagine, like, D-I-C would be one, or D-I-K.
Knob without the K.
Yeah, N-O-B, yeah.
Tit,
definitely tit. Bum.
Bum, yeah.
Take bum for 10 points. Cock.
How are you spelling it?
Well, I was trying to think of that because it's like both COC or COK. Both,
I reckon COK.
I think COK if you were trying to do it. And he's clearly also, we got another. Well, actually, let's do this because we both sometimes disagree on what these jokes are. What are the two words that they've put together?
I assumed BLO and JOB. Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly what I assumed as well. It's like, I know, a classic Friends, just like dropping in a blowjob joke and Monica being very overt about you're not going to... She literally says, you're not going to get ahead from me tonight unless you clear these scores off.
Yeah. What an incentive for him.
It's absolutely mad. Absolutely mad for a mainstream sitcom. So I can't think of any other words. How many would he need? 10, probably. We've probably got 7 or 8 there, haven't we? Maybe that's a round for the next quiz, Pete. Think of as many 3-letter rude words. That's a really good idea. Oh, no, I've said it on the podcast now. It's not really a quiz, though, is it? It's more of a fun game.
More of an inappropriate rude game, if you ask me.
Oh, Peter, don't be such a prude.
By the way,
yes.
On the subject of prudishness, there's a bizarre comment from Chandler in this storyline.
Oh my god.
Age 7, kids have already seen orgies.
They really gloss over the fact that Chandler says he attended an orgy at the age of 7.
Remarkable level of childhood trauma.
Like, woeful trauma, that, isn't it?
Because it's sort of left off as... I assume the joke is that his dad was having orgies, right?
Right. But he says orgies plural. It's not even that he sort of... I mean, it's not really excusable that he'd happen to sort of accidentally be at one, is it? But certainly plural orgies.
I think
orgies.
It's quite difficult to accidentally find yourself an orgy.
I've never found myself at an orgy either accidentally or deliberately, Peter.
Me neither.
So how would a parent with a child accidentally find their kid at an orgy? That is... I'd say it's not great parenting, is what I'd say.
Yeah, I'd agree.
My knowledge of parenting isn't huge, but I'd say that's in the negative column.
If you've ever found yourself at an orgy accidentally, can you drop us a message?
Yeah, please do. Well, and actually on the theme of 7-year-old children, because Ben arrives, doesn't he?
It's a
landmark episode this, Peter. Do you know why?
Last one?
Last ever appearance of Ben.
Good riddance.
Good riddance. And all Ben does in his last appearance is get his ears covered while Lisa Kudrow curses heavily.
Yeah, that's this very sort of unfriendly sort of moment as well, isn't it? With the dramatic operatic music while she's swearing.
Of, much more early Friends, you know, when they messed around with the style a lot more. It's very strange, isn't it? Watching it sort of closely back for this podcast, it's very funny to watch like Monica and Chandler's reactions, because they're not really horrified or worried. They're just sort of giggling a bit.
Yeah, just sort of laying it out. Well, I wonder whether she was actually screaming swear words.
Well, yeah, I was kind of wondering. It'd been really fun to watch that be filmed, wouldn't it? Because it's like proper slow-mo and presumably not really bad swear words because Cole Sprouse was there as a 7-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
But there must have been something happening. Maybe she was just shouting nonsense or something stupid because like Courtney Cox and Matthew Perry do seem to be just sort of cracking up a bit and not actually sort of, they seem to break character a bit there, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, a couple of other little bits from this. Ben's coming over to play the game. That kid is not going to have a fun night playing an old arcade game from the 80s.
Yeah, that's true. He'd be a bit over that, wouldn't he?
I would have thought that really felt like something that Monica thought Ben would enjoy, but I don't think Ben would really enjoy. And then Chandler's claw is the other thing. Did you notice that he buggered up his claw bit?
Yeah, and then he immediately puts his hands in his pockets.
He sort of points at the machine first with the hand, no claw, and then he reveals the claw.
Yeah.
And then he puts his hand in his pockets with no claw. Just hold your hand in a claw, mate. That's all you have to do.
We just want some claw consistency.
Claw consistency is what this podcast has been asking for a long time, Peter. And it's about time we bloody got it, isn't it?
The head of the Iranian FA wasn't going to give us the rights until he suddenly went, Mr. Bean, and pointed at Nick. And then, so he then reenacted the scene that Nick does he with said, Rowan Atkinson.
He said, you nick Mr. Bean's camera. And I said, yeah, that's true. He said, Mr. Bean put a bin on your head. I said, yes, that's true. He said, Mr. Bean poached you with a pen and you made a noise. I said, yeah, that's true. And then he paused and he went, I will be Mr. Bean. So there I am in the office of the Iranian oil ministry with a bin on my head and he's poking me with a pen.
The famous sloping pitch with Chris England, Nick Hancock and guests from Great Big Owl.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Also, from just like a sort of human point of view, Phoebe has actually been quite annoying and disrespectful, isn't she, when she just won't leave?
Yes. Yeah, doesn't get a hint, does she?
No. Considering she bought it as their wedding present as well, it's like, let them enjoy it. Bugger off. Go home. Anyway, Rachel and Joey?
Rachel and Joey.
Rachel and Joey.
You know how they talk about going to Paul's Cafe?
Yes.
I don't think that sounds like a particularly fancy restaurant. It sounds like somewhere you'd get a bacon roll for like 50p.
Yeah, I think definitely Paul's Cafe in like Headingley would be like a greasy spoon, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Paul's Cafe, Times Square, New York City restaurant.
Just Googling the word Paul.
Well, no, Paul New York is what I went for.
I still feel like there could be shitloads of results for that.
Yeah, and I won't lie to you, Pete, there are.
Yeah.
Shitloads of results. But yes, you're quite right. It doesn't sound overly fancy.
You know when they go for dinner and they have Rachel makes a comment about wanting a £3 lobster?
Yeah.
Is that a lot of lobster?
I wondered that because we don't understand pounds, do we?
Because, well, only in like the context of a baby, and that's like, well, you and I were both massive babies.
Yeah.
But that's about, that's just under half of a regular baby.
£3, yeah, right.
That feels like quite a lot of lobster to me.
Quite a lot of lobster.
£3?
Yeah, maybe. £3 is about 1.5 kilograms, according to the Googles. So, I can't really imagine how much lobster that'd be.
I can't relate to how much lobster she's having.
No, certainly not. And I don't know. It's tricky. The only thing I'm just trying to... This week, I got a grocery shop.
Tell me you didn't get lobster.
I didn't get lobster. No. This is a weight-based game because it's the first time this week that I've just really been thinking about the weight of things.
Right.
But basically what happened was I got like 7 bags that were correct and then 1 bag which had clearly been accidentally put into my order that was for someone else's.
What was in it?
Instead of mine. 5 kilograms of sugar.
Oh.
That was it.
That's a lot of baking.
5 kilograms of sugar. It was nuts. Do you want some sugar? Honestly, does anyone in London want some sugar?
You could sort of, you could sell it like Homer Simpson.
Big pile of sugar in the back garden.
Yeah.
Shall I...
And then some bees might nick it.
If you come into the quiz, would you deem 5 kilograms of sugar as a good prize?
Yeah. That you would get shift of it that way.
Give a bag of sugar out for every correct answer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. So anyway, but I was thinking that's a hefty lot of sugar, but actually... lobster would be, the amount of lobster is much less than that, about 1.5 kilograms. So it's like, but it is, yeah, you're quite right. It's, in terms of heft, it is quite a lot of lobster, isn't it? Glad we've sorted that out. Glad we've come to absolutely no conclusion there. On the subject of the £3 lobster, though, I have to say, pregnant Rachel's appetite resonates heavily with me.
Well, just your general appetite.
Yeah, well, I think, and with Joey's, you know, he sort of says, I'll have the same thing. But when she just basically says, I'll have two main courses. I order two main courses quite often.
Do you?
Of a takeaway, yeah. Because I like to have it, like, the next day as takeaway leftovers as well, you know?
Okay, fair.
But it's I'd say it's become more of a regular thing than it has a treat to have two main courses on a Deliveroo. So there you go. One of them could be a £3 lobster. You never know, Pete.
Have you ever ordered lobster?
Once, yes.
And how was it?
It's nice, actually. I've had a couple of lobster sandwiches and stuff in the past, actually.
People say it's a meaty fish, don't they?
They do. It is. It's very tasty. It is. Have you never had it?
I don't think so.
Oh, let's get you a lobster.
No, don't. I find them a bit weird.
Yeah, I'm trying to eat less meat and fish and alive things in general. That's my sort of new end of year's resolution.
If only there was a word for having that kind of diet.
Yeah, but I don't want to commit to that. I like to be able to say I'm trying to eat less, which I am. I got a McPlant the other day.
I tried a McPlant the other day.
Good, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it still tasted processed.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I mean, it literally is.
Just going to be, it's just a different thing in the same shape and process as the normal one, isn't it? Mm. But yeah, I'd highly recommend if you're going for it. Are we vegan influencers now that we've both had a McPlant?
I think that's how it works.
You got a vegan sausage roll at Greg's?
No, I don't think I ever have, actually.
Very good, very good. Anyway, sorry, let's go back to the storyline, shall we? Rachel, Mrs. Dating. So what I would say about this storyline is it's actually, if you take away what we know is about to happen, you know, the terrible, terrible Joey Rachel thing, it's actually a very sweet episode, gesture, behaviour from Joey, this, isn't it?
It is, because Joey and Rachel just come across as really good mates and their friendship is quite fun and they're clearly good friends and they have a laugh and it's nice and then they go and ruin it by making them fall in love.
Yes, exactly. It's just, it's. I think this would have worked absolutely beautifully if it had just been like a momentary, like Joey going, Rachel's, I'm a bit, and you know, like it ended like it did and then just got over it and I was like, nah, we're mates, can crack on, you know? Let's continue as was, the old status quo. But the way he sort of sets it all up and he goes out and he leaves and he goes and gets her flowers and he knocks on the door and he's really trying to make it feel to her like a proper date, like she's not pregnant and exhausted and, you know, just living a bit of her old life, which is what she says she misses.
One of the best moments in terms of them as friends is when they get home and Joey asks that question about which of the other four she'd most like
would
to punch.
You punch? Yeah.
And there's this kind of unspoken Chandler, but I don't know why. And the way that Rachel says that is really good.
It is really funny. And it's such a funny conversation that they never really have, isn't it? Like, it's probably the first time they've ever openly discussed just like, who do you find quite annoying out of this group?
I also think, you know, when they're demonstrating their moves to each other?
Yeah.
Rachel's, in inverted commas, move is seemingly to highlight some quite deep-rooted childhood issues, like the lack of a father-son bond, which...
She's being a therapist without a license, isn't she?
It's not the sexiest of moves, is it?
I'd say it's not only is it not the sexiest, I'd say it's very dangerous, potentially, and quite dubious. You know, it's very morally dubious and could have some real bad effects if you sort of poke at the wrong things without really knowing what you're doing, you know?
But Joey becomes self-aware just in the nick of time when he's like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing.
Well, his move, though, on the other hand, is to trick a girl into thinking he's more famous than he actually is.
That's true.
So it's not like he hasn't got his own sort of nefarious means, is it? What we also find out in this is that Joey has a subscription to Playboy.
Yes.
Not just the sort of the odd magazine they pick up. That's quite a bold thing to have a subscription to, isn't it? I know it was the 90s or early 2000s, this, but it just feels a bit weird as a man in your early 30s to have naked ladies delivered to your door in a magazine, doesn't it?
Isn't it just like the of-the-time version of OnlyFans?
Yes, it is, I guess. I guess it is, but I would moot...
Or so I'm told.
Yeah. Well, no, I would moot that you enjoy OnlyFans and the sort of privacy of your... You know, it's. I'd say that's a more private...
Well, I should hope so.
Yeah, but whereas the Playboy landing on your front doormat, you know?
Yeah,
pop through the front door when it just feels a bit weird. It just feels a bit odd to me. It feels like Joey and Chandler might have had that in their early 20s when they were living together, but Joey's now living with Rachel. They're in their early 30s. It just feels a bit odd.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But there you go. Then Joey goes on a second date in 2 nights in the same restaurant for, production budget reasons.
Same table, isn't it?
Same table. But I'll tell you what's not the same, where the bathroom is.
That's true. She go the other way.
Yeah, she goes the other way from Rachel. Great. The new date. Like, you had one job, guys. Just remember where the bathroom's supposed to be. And then, ends with this sort of strange scene with them watching Cujo, which I've never seen and I have no intention of seeing. And I think this episode is probably what put me off ever watching it back in the day.
When Rachel says, "I really hope this dog dies," very inappropriate coming from the star of Marley and Me.
Well, right, I know. It's when was Marley and Me out? That must have been post-Friends, Marley.
Oh, yeah, that was post-Friends.
But still, 2008, much later.
Also, Rachel gets a doggy bag.
A swanny bag, a doggy swan.
A doggy swan, and then just sits eating what looks like steak?
Yes, it did look like steak, didn't it? And also, very soon after, she's already decided she doesn't want to eat more steak.
Yeah.
Straight home, straight eating it. But there you go, they have a lovely date. They watch Cujo, Joey starts to get the feels. And
there's that weird soft ending.
Yeah, it's a very strange soft ending, isn't it? And it leads us into, as previously discussed, some people's least favourite part of all of Friends.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But that is all we have time for talking about in this episode, Peter, isn't it?
Oh.
Should we have a quiz?
Let's have a quiz.
Amy sent another quiz that she made on the tube, Peter.
Tube quiz.
As I quote, "Who says you can't have it all?" Well, there you go. You can write a quiz for no monetary compensation whilst commuting. I am absolutely convinced that was your childhood dream, Amy.
Question one.
Yes, please.
What colour is the wrapping paper on Ms. Pac-Man?
Blue.
Yeah, I'm confident it's blue. It is blue. Question two, what magazine's Rachel reading when Joey suggests taking her on a date?
Do you know what? I can't remember exactly what it's called, but I did notice it because it's something about pregnancy. It's something. It's like two words, something pregnancy.
Fit pregnancy.
Can't give ourselves half mark. A couple of people complained that I gave us a half mark last time. I'll say no. But did you notice who's on the front of it, Peter?
No.
You might not even know who she is, but it's Alex Kingston.
Off of VR.
Yeah, and Doctor Who.
And off of Doctor Who.
Yeah. And it just, that's why it caught my eye. So there you go. End of bit.
Question three. What do Joey and Rachel order at dinner? Well, we've already mentioned the lobster.
Yeah, but it's two things, isn't it? It's the £3 lobster.
Well, Rachel ends up eating some steak.
Oh, steak and lobster, yeah. Is that what she says?
Filet mignon.
Yeah, okay, fine. We'll give ourselves that, will we?
Yeah. Question four, what building is Ross's new class in?
Oh, the something building. Definitely the something building.
Great. Freeman building.
The Martin Freeman building. That's, I'll remember that from now on.
And what dinosaur is Ross lecturing about at the end? I have no idea.
Oh, the Deinosaurus. I can't remember now. What is it?
Hadrosaurus.
Not a good quiz for us, that, Peter, to end the series on. Could do better.
That draws series six of Friends with Friends to a close. When I put on Twitter and Instagram that it was the last episode this week, there were a couple of messages saying, will there be more Friends with Friends?
Yeah.
Yes. Mainly because we've still got about 50 fucking requests to get through. So I'm afraid you're not getting rid of us just yet.
Absolutely not. We'll be doing correspondence this week over on the Patreon, patreon.com/friendspod. There'll be another episode of Joey on there. There'll be bits of content, won't there, over the off season.
Yes. We'll be away from regular Friends with Friends episodes for a little bit, but we will keep drip feeding in the odd load of old bollocks of us chatting.
Yeah. And if you are a Patreon subscriber, A, thank you for all your support as always, and B, if there is a month that we just can't do anything, we will freeze your subscriptions, don't worry, so you won't be getting charged for anything when we're not putting anything out, you know.
But while I think it's I think it's, shall I say, I won't say exactly when series 7 is.
Okay.
We'll hold that back.
Don't commit us to a day. I don't know what my diary's doing next week, never mind in some time.
In the grand scheme of things, it's really not that far away.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, it really isn't. You'll barely notice we've gone. But anyway.
I hope people do notice we've gone. Because otherwise, what's the fucking point?
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? Oh, it's hard. It's a fine line to tread, isn't it? All right, look, we'll see what happens, eh? We'll be back fairly soon. Bye. See you soon.
See you soon. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.